Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Maybe 30 minutes and I end up going like an hour, but about deliverance ministry, it's such a forgotten ministry in the body of Christ. And one of the things that happens when you start doing deliverance is people claim that you're doing something new. In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus started casting out demons, they declared, "What new teaching is this? This guy's doing something new." Well, in that day, it was a new teaching. And because no one had done deliverance, in fact, deliverance is one of the only ministries that Jesus brought. And if you're taking notes, you can start taking notes whenever. I'll try to slow down, but I'm Italian and Hispanic, so I talk fast, forgive me, but it's one of the only ministries Jesus did that nobody else in Scripture did. So for example, in the Old Testament, the sick had already been healed by the time Jesus arrived. In the Old Testament, people got healed that were sick. In the Old Testament, the dead had already been raised. In the Old Testament, people were going out declaring, you know, judgment is coming. When Jesus showed up, John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Yet here Jesus comes and Jesus brings this quote unquote new ministry that had never been done in Scripture, and that is the ministry of deliverance. And when we say deliverance this morning, we're talking about exorcism and deliverance like interchangeably. That is casting a demon out of somebody. A demon is a person without a body that dwells inside of people, according to Matthew 12. And as believers, we have authority to cast that demon out of somebody. So this was amazing. For the first time in human history, somebody that had a demon can now receive freedom because of Jesus Christ. Is that not exciting for anybody? Now, I'm not going to be convincing you of deliverance ministry. I'm not going to do a 45-minute teaching on why we need deliverance. Every one of you should know we need deliverance. Everyone should know it's for the believer. So I'm not doing like, can a Christian have a demon for an hour? We have all those videos on YouTube. But I do want to lay the framework of deliverance. This is, and this is super important, this is a compassion ministry. We are not doing deliverance for views, for clicks, for clout, for people to be eccentric, to feel like we're powerful. We should all be moved by compassion at all times. Amen. And talk to me this morning, because if you guys are quiet, I get nervous. I know there's a lot of white people in the room, so it makes me nervous when people are quiet. I'll start sweating, and I'm not a morning person, so it's a double whammy. So talk to me. Just be loose, and you can talk as we preach. And then also make sure, well, if you could just leave the question QR code up the whole time, that'd be amazing. I want you guys, as I'm teaching, to be able to ask questions as they come to you. But my whole point is, a lot of people that do deliverance, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're not doing it for the right reasons. And the moment you stop doing it for the right reasons is the moment you lose your spiritual authority. Your spiritual authority is governed and given to you based on your compassion to see the people around you get set free. It all goes back to in Luke 13. The Bible says there was a woman bound with infirmity for 18 years. And long story short, Jesus delivers the lady and then says to the Pharisees, because these are the people that are going to come against you, amen, now that you're starting to do deliverance, this is who's going to come against you, friends and family that have that religious spirit. But Jesus says, doesn't this woman deserve to be free? He said, you go and untie on the Sabbath, you go and untie your donkeys, yet this woman is bound by Satan. So he's tying this together. She's tied up, bound by Satan, and you're mad that I want to see her get set free. The religious spirit will always get mad when you start untying people from their bondage. So your greatest enemy is not going to be drug addicts and prostitutes and witches and warlocks and people that are in bondage. Your greatest enemy is going to be your pastor. Amen. It's getting quiet. I know some of you traveled in, but praise the Lord. Your greatest enemy is going to be, and I learned this in the early days of my deliverance ministry. My pastor told me the most disappointing moments you'll have, Isaiah, are in the green rooms, or when you get around pastors that don't believe in the ministry of deliverance, that don't cast out devils, and truthfully, their own demons prevent them from seeing the need for deliverance. But this ministry is a deliverance ministry. It's not just a ministry of compassion, or deliverance ministry is a ministry of compassion. Every time I do deliverance, what moves me is my heart's broken for people that need freedom. That was a young boy last night, 8 years old. You guys probably saw him getting delivered at the altar. My heart is broken for this 8-year-old that's been through all of this, that needs freedom. So what motivates me to keep screaming when I have no voice, to keep preaching when I'm tired, to keep doing the work is compassion. Also, I want to make another thing clear as we set the framework here, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Is the ministry of deliverance is not a ministry that we chase after. It's a ministry that we all are involved in because we're followers of Christ. So a lot of people, when they get in deliverance, and this is amazing, but also an error, is we get obsessed with demons, all right? And that's normal because you're like, this is real, and I didn't realize these were real, and it's supernatural. But what happens is we start chasing the signs and wonders and the deliverance ministry rather than chasing the deliverer. So we want, can y'all hear me there? We want to make sure that in, as we're doing what I'm teaching, is that we're not chasing the deliverances. We're not chasing the demons. We're not demon-obsessed. We're Christ-obsessed. We're not demon-aware. We're Christ-aware. So we're actually pursuing Christ. And in that, I'm going to give you a verse, Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow that them that believe. And I'll stop here. In my name, they will drive out demons. So what are we doing? We're not following demons. We're not following deliverance. We're not even following miracles. Miracles and deliverances are a byproduct of me chasing after Christ so hard that my heart is broken for the demonized people around me. And so now it's not, and I even don't like using, and you guys probably know this if you watch any of my videos, I don't even like using the word deliverance ministry. I just say it's the ministry of Jesus. This ministry is the ministry of Christ, and because I love Christ, I love the things that Jesus does. How many of you know if you love your spouse, you love the things they do, even if the things they do sometimes annoy you? You love them because you love it because you love them. I don't like shopping at all, but my wife loves to shop. My wife is a, I don't understand this. She'll go shopping for hours, try on everything, and buy nothing. I'm like, I don't know what, I just like going and trying things and looking. I'm like, what? What is this? We go in, we get out. But you know what? I love going with her because I love my wife. I don't love shopping, but I love the things she does because I love her. This is what deliverance ministry is. You might be in here going like, I don't really like casting out demons, but I love Christ and it's the work that he did. And so we can't separate the work that Jesus did in the work of deliverance. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called them. This is very important. I'm only gonna give you a few verses. Again, I'm not gonna spend 40 minutes convincing you. I'm just giving you some framework because just so you know, your friends and family are going to start coming at you saying, this is not biblical. This isn't in the Bible. You're in some cult. I tell people, listen, if I'm in a cult, don't rescue me. Because this cult changed my life. It saved my marriage. It healed me. It delivered me. So if I am in a cult, leave me alone because it's changed everything. It's amazing. It's a joke. All right. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Man, I really do sound like Batman right now. Jesus called his 12 disciples. Look at this. And this is important, and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits. You have, in Christ, authority to cast out demons. If I went right now in the at the intersection right here, and I started to try to direct traffic, I would get hit by a car. People would laugh at me, they would joke at me, they would probably blow their exhaust on me. Nobody would listen to me. Why? Because I have no authority to go try to direct traffic. These are cars that weigh thousands of pounds. I'm trying to stop them, 140 pounds, I'm trying to stop them. They would run me over. I have no power, I have no authority over these large vehicles. But my best friend, who's a law enforcement officer, if I put his uniform on, the same guy, the same 140 pound guy, now in a law enforcement uniform, went out to the same intersection and tried to direct traffic. Guess what? Now the cars that a minute ago were running me over, blowing their lifted truck exhaust on me, they would now be stopping and obeying me. All I did was I changed authority. Y'all see that? So now I have no authority, but because of the uniform I put on, I have what? All authority. And the Bible says, what do? We put on Christ. Christ is our authority. When I'm in deliverance, casting demons out of somebody, it's very important that I'm coming in the name of Jesus. It's very important that you overuse the name of Jesus because they're not obeying you. They're obeying the name of Jesus. They're obeying the authority that Jesus has given you. So are we perfect? No, but we're coming in Christ's name. Am I 100% always walking in that holiness? No, but I'm coming in Christ's name. So I have to come with confidence. Do not come and deliver his ministry being like, do you mind if the demon, we don't beg demons, we're not asking. In fact, Jesus didn't even say, go pray to cast out demons. Jesus said, go cast them out. Now this makes a lot of people mad, but it's in the Bible. When we pray for the sick, right? We're like, be healed, Lord, please. And I do that too, guys. When I get desperate, I'm begging. I do all the things I tell people not to do. But Jesus didn't even say beg for healing. He didn't even say pray for the sick. He said, go heal the sick. Why did he say don't pray for it? Because he says, I've already given you power and authority over it. So you can say to this mountain, be thrown in the sea, and the mountain will obey you. Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name and it'll be given unto you in my name. The Father gave Jesus, I love the Lord, but the Bible says the Father gave Jesus the name that is above every name, and he placed that name, look at this, above every power and principality. So his name is above the name suicide. His name is above, I'm not supposed to be preaching, is above the spirit of depression. So he puts his name above. So when I come in his name, I'm above every unclean spirit. Demons will often say, you have no power over me. You have no authority over me. They're bluffing. They don't know what else to do. They're trying to deceive you. The moment you lose your boldness, your tenacity, and your authority is the moment that you lose your power and your control over demons. So very important. So then he commissions the 10. Then Luke 10, 17 says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons obey us in your name. So they didn't obey, and these are not the 12. I know only the 12 apostles cast out demons. Wrong. The 72 followers cast out demons. But the demons obeyed based on the name of Jesus. They were shocked that the demons obeyed them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 says, if by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom has come upon you, which we know now deliverance is the arrival of God's kingdom. Anytime you're seeing a demon cast out, you are seeing the miracle power and the miracle hand of God be released. Let me give you one more verse, and then we're going to jump into this. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 7, now this is the ministry of Philip, the only named evangelist in the Bible. It says, many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And then verse 8, and this applies to us, so there was great joy in that city. I honestly believe depression reigns our cities because deliverance isn't happening. The Bible says that when you cast out demons and they come out of people screaming, I know a lot of you are like, it sounded like a horror movie at the altar. That's amazing. That's beautiful. The church I was a part of for 3 years, we started teaching deliverance, and they weren't doing deliverance really when I started going. And then we started doing deliverance, and then people started screaming, and then people started leaving, and then people started screaming. But in the early days of being there, everyone would freak out as people were screaming. I had to get up every single time I preached and say, Acts chapter 8, verse 7, many evil spirits were screaming. And then people start realizing, oh, so when people are screaming, it's actually a good thing because demons usually scream as they leave. And then now at that church, it's just normal. Every Sunday people are screaming, and new people are like, what is that? Oh, don't worry. That's just demons being cast out. So it's actually a beautiful thing when demons are screaming out of people. We are not, amen. We are not called to be afraid of the screaming. We're not called to be afraid of, we're just, that's beautiful. It's amazing. It's people screaming out demons. It's people getting set free. It's the demons screaming out, not the people, which leads me to another point. When doing deliverance, you have to often realize when people are manifesting a demon, it's the demon crying out of them, the demon screaming out of them, or the demon laughing. A lot of times the person will start laughing. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's the demon laughing, making light of the situation. I don't fully know why, and there's a lot of things I don't fully know in the spiritual realm, even though I've spent 60 plus hours online teaching this, I've written a book on this, I still fully don't understand half of what's happening. Every single day I learn, last night I learned, every deliverance session I learned. I was talking to a guy, he's done 50,000 deliverances. For the last 50 years, from he gets up at 7 a.m. around that time, from about 8 to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Sunday, all he does is deliverance. He does nothing else but deliverance. He's documented 50,000 deliverances that he's done personally in his ministry. I was on the phone with him one day, and he said, Isaiah, at 5 p.m. we get done, me and my wife have dinner, and all we do is we talk about the deliverances that we did throughout that day. He's fully booked for literally the last 50 years. And he said, what I'll tell you is in 50 years, 50,000 plus deliverances, he said, I have never had a day, not one day, where I didn't encounter a different demon. He said, every single day, 50,000 he has written down, I encounter a new demon every single day. My point is, even this guy doesn't fully understand the spiritual realm full. Like it's so complex, it's so deep. So we're gonna try to give you guys just a framework of what you should do. I know some of you are advanced, you're doing tons of deliverance. This might be elementary to you, but I wanna give you a framework of how to cast out a demon. Now let me ask you this question here. How many of you have never, and be honest, no one's gonna make fun of you or laugh at you or joke at you, you've never led a deliverance? You actually weren't the one leading. Wave at me. Just raise your hand nice and high. Okay, that was like 90% of the room. And that's amazing, and I'm glad you're here. And the goal is, by this time next year, we're gonna say how many of you, and all of you that were here last year, are gonna say, I've led deliverances, because we want to get you trained and equipped so that you can cast out demons. The Bible says they shall cast out demons. So we do deliverance because they shall do it, and because there's people all around you that are not going to come to this church. Amen. And you're like, I've invited them. They won't come. But you're going to be able to do deliverance on them in your living room. I want you to know one of the best places to drive out demons is in your living room. One of the best places to cast out demons is at your house. How many of you know, and I hope I'm okay to say this, you don't have to wait to do it on Sunday morning. You don't have to wait to bring your friends and family. In fact, we would like you to help us out. We're tired. I'm like, bro, stop bringing your demonized people. We have a list. Pastor has a list already. She's trying to work through it, and her car's breaking down. She has it in the shop. We mean, we're trying, guys, we're trying to do deliverance. We got a lot on our plate, and you guys have to stop bringing people to us and start doing the work yourself, because the same spirit that raised Christ is living in me. I don't need to bring you to my pastor. Guys, this is not a spiritual gift, by the way. Everywhere I travel, I hear this thing like, I just don't have the spiritual gift to cast out demons. You don't need the spiritual gift. Are you a Christian? Yes. You're called to cast out demons. Well, it's not. I'm just not really in that office. I'm like, there's no office of casting out demons. Ephesians 4:11 says the apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher. There's no casting out demons office, and there's no spiritual gift. And I'm glad that it's not a spiritual gift, because if it was a spiritual gift, you would excuse yourself from doing it. I honestly believe many of us are going to stand on Judgment Day, including myself, and realize we did so little with so much of what we had. I think Corey Russell always says, like, we had $1 million a month and we live off a dollar a day. We have so much potential in the spiritual realm. And yet, as I just said, 90% of this room said, I've never led a deliverance. And that's not, I'm not here to condemn you. You're the one I want to talk to. That's amazing, because now you're going to be without excuse. So I want to break down in a practical way the 7 steps on how to cast out demons. And these are steps I go through in every deliverance. Now, I don't want to be dogmatic about this. There's times where you'll do deliverance and the Holy Spirit will lead you a different direction. There's times where you might skip a step. This is not religion. This is not religious Catholic exorcism where we're like, the Catholics, the way they do exorcism is they read prayers that are recited. We don't do that. We're not reading a specific prayer. It's not an incantation. It's not magical. It's authority. It's led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, write this down, is my guide in deliverance ministry. So I am not following necessarily Isaiah's teachings. I'm following the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit tells me to do something that doesn't line up with what Isaiah teaches, who do I follow? The Holy Spirit. Now, with that being said, if the Holy Spirit tells me to do something that's not in the Bible, it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. I make sure to clear that up. It's another spirit. So in deliverance, we're following the Holy Spirit. There's 2 types of deliverances before I go into step 1. There's altar deliverance, which is what we were doing last night, which is amazing. I would call it more of a power encounter where we are driving the demons out, where we are brute force getting the demons out. Now, it is effective and it does work. It's just not the most effective way to cast out demons. This is loud and it's wild and we don't really have the time to spend. You'll see once you start doing it. Now, some of the stuff I'm going to say is like makes no sense until you do deliverance. And one of those things is oftentimes deliverance is not fast. I know a lot of pastors who have never cast anything out. The only thing they cast out is people in their church that are on fire, but they've never cast out anything in their life. Some of you will get that at lunch. You could ask the question right there in the QR code. But they always say, it's fast, it's fast. It's not always fast, and it's actually not usually fast. Well, when Jesus did it, it was fast. Well, the Bible doesn't necessarily say when Jesus did it, it was fast. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says the demon came out within the hour, so we don't know, did it take 20 minutes, 30 minutes, we don't know. And then I tell pastors this, you're not Jesus. Like, Jesus did it, and you know what? Every single person Jesus prayed for got healed. I want that to be my life, but that's not my life, and so I'm a student, I'm learning, but I'm not the master, I'm a representative of Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, but I'm not Jesus, so oftentimes it does take time, and you got to remember, people have invited 40 years, 50 years, they've invited demons into their life, and we can't expect them to come out immediately, instantly, always. I would love for demons to leave immediately. I have a friend that, I'm not sure how he's still my friend, but he's a friend. He teaches that, you know, demons always come out instantly, and basically he teaches that what we teach is wrong and that it should never be a process. It should never take more than 5 minutes. And so he does deliverance services, which they're not really deliverance services, and he lines people up and he just he knocks them over, right? Half of them he pushes, but it's okay. He prays, and then they fall over. And if they don't fall, he pushes them down. And then he's like, they're delivered, they're free. And then those same people, they come to our meetings. They're like, I didn't get free. So his theology is, it's always instant, it's always fast. That's not good theology, because it's not practical and it's not reality. Because what you'll find when you start dealing with demons is it is a wrestling match. And how many of you know wrestling matches aren't instant? You don't just go in a wrestling match and it's instantly over. We're fighting. So don't feel bad if it takes 2 hours. Amen. I'm like, I've been there. Don't feel bad if it takes you 45 minutes. This is a process. So at the altar, it's usually fast, it's brute force, and I believe there's a special grace at the altar and during service for the Lord to deliver people. But most people I've seen don't get fully delivered at the altar. They get partial deliverance, which leads to our second type of deliverance, and that is what we're focusing on, one-on-one personal deliverance. So that would be you meeting with somebody in a neutral location, like a church prayer room, like a building, like your house. I've done deliverances in cars before because I had no other way. Actually, a car's a pretty good place because there's no kids. It's quiet. The person's stuck in a seatbelt. Literally, in my early days, we did a lot of deliverances in cars. We were doing one deliverance, in fact, at a friend's house, and I was just saved probably like, you know, 2-3 months prior, and we were actually in a shop. This is a funny story. We were in a shop, like where they do, you know, they build stuff and whatever. They're working on cars, and everybody was in the house, so we're like, this girl's manifesting, let's get some other girls and guys and let's go pray for her in the shop. And so we're in this shop and there's sharp objects everywhere, which is not smart. And the girl's like, the demon's telling me to grab that screwdriver and stab you. I'm like, okay, we probably shouldn't do deliverances in a shop with a bunch of sharp objects. I kid you not, we're young, we didn't know what to do. So we're like, let's put her in the Suburban. So her family had a Suburban, and we were like, do you mind if we use your car? They're like, for a while. We're like, don't worry about it. So we just went right there in her driveway, in her Suburban, and there was a couple girls, a couple guys, and we all got our seat, and we put her in a seatbelt. We prayed deliverance, and the Lord delivered. I was like, man, cars are actually a great place. The person's on, it's padded. They can't really get hurt. So my point is, deliverance can be done virtually, literally anywhere, okay? Anywhere. It's the best place to do it in an environment where you have the liberty, you have the time, you have the space. I would usually limit a one-on-one, and this is not Bible fact here, but I usually give people about 2 hours, and here's what I say. I go, okay, we're going to do a 2-hour deliverance, and whatever happens by the end of the 2 hours, now, of course, I've gone that into 6 hours before, I've gone into 8 hours, I've gone into an hour. So it's not always that, but I like to tell people, at about the 2-hour mark, if you're still needing freedom, there's probably something that you need to work on that is not going to happen right now, and so let's come and schedule another session. Because I found that about the 2-hour mark, not only is the deliverance team drained and tired, but actually the person's tired and really needs a break. And so there's nothing wrong with stopping the deliverance. So deliverance one is at, type one is at the altar. Deliverance type two is one-on-one deliverance, which is what these steps apply to. Now, if you're at the altar, you don't need to go through all these steps. This is just the difference here, okay? So number one, and this is the most important step, is you need to make sure the person not only is a believer, and again, I'm not doing 40 minutes on can a Christian have a demon? The answer is yes. That's all you need to know. But you need to make sure the person is a believer and actually wants deliverance. If we look at Mark 7:24 and Matthew 15:21, basically a woman comes to Jesus. She was a Syrophoenician woman, half Greek. She wasn't eligible to be delivered. In fact, if you didn't know this, deliverance in the Bible was for God's people. It was actually not for just the random bystander. So she comes begging Jesus to deliver her daughter. Jesus says, it's not for you. The children's bread, remember, what is she asking for? Deliverance for her daughter. Some people say the children's bread, salvation. That is not what she was asking for. She did not say, Jesus, save me. She said, Jesus, cast the demon out of my daughter. Jesus says, it's not for the Greeks. It's not for the Syrophoenicians. This is for my children. So I can write down in my notes, deliverance is the children's bread. Deliverance is a benefit of being a Christian, a benefit of salvation. Okay, it's for the believer. It's for the Christian. I'll tell you why in a moment. And Jesus says it's not for you. She says, even the dogs come under the master's tables and eat the crumbs. Jesus says, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. Go home. Your daughter's been delivered. So the point was, what made her eligible to be delivered when she wasn't for her was this incredible faith and tenacity to believe God for the impossible. So in deliverance, faith will do what nothing else can do. Do not go into a deliverance thinking, I'm probably not going to get delivered. In fact, when I cast out demons from people and they say in the beginning of their deliverance, I just don't feel like it's going to work, I end the deliverance. I'm like, oh, you don't think it's going to work? Me neither. We're done. If you're not fully convinced 1,000% that I'm going to get free right now in this session, God's going to free me, then the deliverance will not work and the demons will play on your unbelief rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to be empowered by your faith. You have to be, as the deliverance minister, right? I've done situations where the demons are doing just the most bizarre thing. I had one lady on her back, completely contorted, her head twisted upside down, her eyes black, her teeth sharp. I mean, this stuff, Hollywood couldn't do this. I've seen, and I've been in moments where the deliverance team's getting afraid. And I'm like, hey, if you're afraid right now and you have unbelief, you got to leave the room. We can't have any unbelief in the room. You have to be 100% convinced that this is for me, that this is for the believer. Another reason why we only do deliverance on believers is if you do deliverance on an unbeliever, you might get some success, but the demons are only going to come back 7 times worse. So it's honestly pointless because the demons will recognize this person is just going to reopen the doors. Demons are seeking reentrance. I don't necessarily believe it's the same demons that you cast out because we command them to go into the abyss, which I'll go into here in a moment. But the demons will try to seek reentrance. So you need to make sure the person wants to be free. Now, here's another situation that is I'll give a caveat to. If the person comes to me, okay, they're not a believer. And you would say, well, you're not going to do deliverance on them, right? Right? I will. I'm going to tell you why. They say, Isaiah, I'm not a believer. I have these demons, but I want to become a believer, okay? I want to serve the Lord. I want to know him. What I will do is I will literally lead them, not through just invite Jesus into your heart. I will tell them the cost. This is going to cost you everything. You have to lay down your life. You have to surrender. You have to deny yourself. I'll tell them what Jesus, you have to pick up your cross and you have to believe in the work. I'll lead them through the whole thing and I'll have them really commit themselves in their own way. I'll have them praying and commit themselves to God. So before I even start the deliverance, I know that they want to be a believer and then we go into the deliverance. Does that make sense? So you could do deliverance on believers. Just make sure that you let them know if you don't become a believer, you're just going to have the demons come back worse. Okay, so deliverance is the children's bread. Faith, and I'm just going to skip through some stuff. Faith is essential, the most essential thing in deliverance. You have to have faith on both parties. If one party doesn't have faith, likely the deliverance is going to work. If the deliverance minister doesn't have the faith, they'll have no authority. And if the person receiving deliverance doesn't have faith, the demons do not have to leave. Demons are incredibly legal and they'll do what you tell them to do, exactly how you tell them to do it, okay? Matthew 12:43, let me read this really quick. When an unclean spirit goes out of a person, he goes through dry places. Some of you, that's your church. He goes through dry places. I wondered why there's a lot of demons in my church, because demons love dry places. And they love dry Christians. He goes through dry places seeking rest. So demons are looking to rest, all right? They don't go to Palm Springs. They go to dry churches. And they find none. Verse 44, then the demon says, look at this. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. Verse 44, I will return to my house from which I came. So now we know demons call human beings their house, all right? And he comes and he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes 7 spirits that are more evil than himself, and they go and dwell there, and the man is worse than he was before. So it shall be with this wicked generation. Okay, so we know, here's the key word in this verse, the house is empty. Okay, the house is clean now. Well, my life's clean, it's in order. Yeah, but you're not full of the Holy Ghost. It's empty. So we want to make sure the person gets filled with the Holy Spirit and they don't live empty lives. But the thing is, demons call us their home and they return. So again, if we deliver an unbeliever, the demons are going to leave and then come back 7 times worse. And that is if you can even get them to leave. I found, and I've tried doing deliverance on believers, especially in my early days, wasted a lot of time. I found that usually the demons won't leave in the first place, okay? Another thing, write this down. The person has to want their freedom more than you do. Let me say it again. The person has to want to be free more than you want them to be free. People come to me like, my son wants to be free, and he's, you know, 16 years old, and they're bringing him to me like he's a 5-year-old. I'm like, okay. And I look at him, and he's 16. I'm like, hey, bro, I already know he doesn't want to be there. He's all angry, mad, his hoodie's on, his head's down. I'm like, do you want to be set free? No. Okay, then I've literally told moms this. I'm not going to pray for your son. Well, why? Because he doesn't want freedom, and the demons will recognize that he doesn't want the freedom. Deliverance is similar, and actually the word salvation means deliverance, sozo. But the thing about deliverance is you can't force deliverance on anybody. Now, some of you have seen guys on YouTube that go and pray for the homeless, and that's great, and I've done this as well, and you're commanding the demon to leave them. But a lot of times the people don't want freedom, and the person manifests, and then they say, oh, they got free. No, they didn't get free. They just manifested. There's a massive difference between somebody getting free from a demon and somebody manifesting a demon. I can go pray for somebody on the corner right now and get them in 5 minutes to start screaming and manifest. That does not mean they got free. That just means I made their demons mad. And now they're going to probably feel tormented for the next week. So we have to make sure that we're realizing the person has to want freedom more than you want it. And write this down. They must participate in their deliverance. If they're just sitting there bored, there's no reason why you should be doing deliverance on them. I've done deliverance on people, and I'm like, do you even want to be here? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, act like it. You're literally sitting there, flies landing in your mouth. You got a Beelzebub landing on your mouth because you're just drooling. You have no desire. You're completely checked out. If you have somebody looking at their phone the whole time you're trying to do deliverance on them, you're wasting your time. There are so many people that need freedom. You cannot waste your time on people that don't want it. So they got to want it. That's number one, okay? Number two is we'll start with, this is every deliverance I start with, except for, of course, at the altar, which actually at the altar last night, I started with this as well, but usually I'll fill it out, is you need to lead them, very important, through renouncing. She's heard, watch all my videos, dealing with unforgiveness. And then number three, this is step two, but this is the third thing I do. And this works really good. I just started doing this probably a year ago, verbally telling the demons to leave. Before I tell them to leave, you're going to tell them to leave, okay? So starting with renouncing, this is very simple. All you're saying is, I don't want you anymore. The demons are there because the person invited them to be there, okay? Some people, in a weird way, they fall in love with their demons and they want their demons. I know that sounds weird. I was doing a deliverance and this has happened to me several times, multiple hours in, and the Lord's like, stop. I'm like, why? And he said, because this girl wants her demons. I'm like, what? This has been hours of me yelling, screaming, doing the whole thing, everything. We went through it. And so she was manifesting and I called her name. So if somebody's manifesting and you want them to stop manifesting, you got to call them by their name. And so I said something like, Jessica, I want to talk to you, not the spirit. So that spirit stopped speaking out of her. And now I'm talking to Jessica. I said, Jessica, this is going to sound bizarre. I don't know if this is right, but do you like these demons? Do you want them? And she started crying. She's like, I don't want them to leave. Now, this is Jessica talking. And this is why she didn't want them to leave. She said, they've been with me so long, I don't know who I'll be without them. Because these are personalities, right? And they've become so much a part of me that I don't know how I can live without these things. So demons, in a weird way, convinced their victims that they're actually beneficial. That they actually like them. And there's something I learned about in law enforcement. If you're in law enforcement, you probably know what I'm gonna say. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. And Stockholm Syndrome is a real phenomenon that law enforcement deals with when they're trying to get an abused wife, an abused person in sex trafficking, an abused prostitute out and get them free from their captive. They'll find out that these women often fall in love with the person abusing them. And that's what happens. Somehow we actually fall in love with the demons that abuse us. I mean, I literally have dealt with people that thought they were fully married to the demon that was in them. And that's called a spiritual spouse. That's another teaching. But my point is, oftentimes people fall in love in a weird, sick, and twisted way. They actually fall in love with the demons that they have. So in renouncing, you're basically verbally saying, I don't want this anymore. I came in agreement with this, and it invited the demon into my life, and now the way I'm going to get it out is I'm going to come out of agreement with it. And if you're not comfortable with the word renounce, you can just say, I repent, okay? Repentance and renouncing, it doesn't matter. The Bible teaches, I got a bunch of verses I don't have time to go through, but the Bible teaches to renounce all forms of wickedness. So we renounce, we basically say, I'm denying it, I don't want it, I don't accept it. You break its legal right to be there. If a demon's there, it has a legal right to be there. Now, some demons, this is important, they don't have a legal right to be there, okay? I was dealing with one demon, and the demon wasn't leaving, and I'm like, why won't you leave? And the demon said, I don't even want to be here. Literally told me this, like, I don't want to be in this girl. And it was actually a youth pastor's wife we were doing deliverance on. And the demon said, she's always praying, she's always fasting, she's always reading, she's always in church. I don't want to be there. And I said, well, why haven't you left? It said, because no one's told me to leave. So the demon was literally waiting, didn't want to be there, and was waiting for just a believer to tell it to leave. And that goes into, you know, demons are assigned by higher ranking demons in the second heaven. My point is, the demon didn't want to be there. It took like 5 minutes. We commanded it to go and it left. Deliverance will be quick when the person's ready. If you've ever done a fast deliverance, which are amazing, I love it when it's like 15 minutes, you'll know the reason it lasted 15 minutes is because the person was ready to get free. They had dealt with this stuff. Okay, so renouncing. Now this is, and I'm trying to be super practical, and I know a lot of you haven't led, so I want to pretend that you just don't know any of this, even though some of you do, a lot of you don't. This is as simple as saying, in a practical way, I renounce sickness. And I will lead them through this. So I'll just say repeat after me, because they're already sometimes feeling the manifestation. So I'll say, I renounce sickness. Then they'll say, I renounce sickness. I renounce lust. Then they'll say, I renounce lust. And we're just going through everything. And I've also found it's better to over-renounce than under-renounce. Because you'll see that there's like, I was dealing with one girl, and she was a young girl, and I said, this is going to sound weird, but I keep hearing like murder, and her mom was there as well. I think she was like 12 or 13. I keep hearing the word murder, and like God keeps telling me, I know this sounds like weird. I was telling her mom this, but can we have her renounce murder? And this is like maybe 20, 30 minutes into deliverance, and her mom's like, okay. And so I said, hey, do you mind just saying I renounce murder? I'm like, have you ever felt like you've had any thoughts? She's like, I'm constantly, she's 12 or 13. I constantly think about killing people. She's like, every time my mom's driving, I have a thought that I should grab the wheel and get us in a wreck. She said, when I see somebody jogging, I have this thought, grab the wheel and hit the person jogging while your mom's driving. She said, I have thoughts of killing my sister. I have thoughts of stabbing my brother. Nobody knows this. And then we start dealing with the deliverance. This ancient spirit of murder starts speaking out of this little girl, talking about how seven generations back, her uncle murdered their whole family, this whole story. My point was, there was an ancestral spirit of murder that I had no clue about, that the Holy Spirit showed me. And unless I dealt with it and listened to the Holy Spirit saying, have her renounce this, I would have never been able to know, and she would have never gotten set free from that thing that was hiding. So if the Holy Spirit tells you, have them renounce it. I've dealt with a lot of people that nobody knew they were dealing with homosexuality, and I'm like, hey bro, not to be weird, but I keep hearing the Lord say, renounce homosexuality, and they'll be like, dude, I haven't told nobody. I would never give into these, but I've had all these gay thoughts. I've had all these desires. So you just have to go overboard sometimes on these things. Now, if they're renouncing something and the demon's choking them and they can't say a specific word, ding, 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 that's probably the name of the spirit that is there, okay? So if you're like, say I renounce lust, and like I renounce, and they feel like they can't say it, have somebody that's taking notes in the deliverance team write that down, lust, because that's probably a spirit that you're going to want to target, but you need to work them through it and make them speak it out. Usually there's a demon there, okay? We know that the power of life and death is in the tongue. We know that the way we warfare is with our tongue, that we wield the sword of the spirit with our tongue. This is all words, guys. Everything that's happening in the spiritual realm is happening based on our words. So can you do deliverance over the phone? Well, can you talk over the phone? Yes, so you can do deliverance over the phone. Can you do deliverance on Zoom? Yes, because all you need to do is speak and talk to those demons, because you're coming in the name of Jesus. It's all about your words. The Bible says what you bind on earth with your words will be bound in the heavenly realm. What you loose on earth, how do you loose things? With your words will be loosed in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly realm. The Bible says it's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. Salvation, remember, the word salvation actually means deliverance. So it's not just when you die you get salvation. It's salvation is healing, deliverance, and when I die, I can go be with Christ for all of eternity. So words are powerful. The occult knows this. Witches know this. How do witches curse people? With their words. Some of you have curses on yourself based on the words you speak. You got to speak a different word, okay? Again, if the Holy Spirit gives you a word of knowledge, go with that. So, renouncing. Then you're dealing with unforgiveness. This is very important. Man, I got way too much stuff here. This is very important because if the person has unforgiveness, this is the bottom line fact. You could debate me on this. Again, I've done multiple thousand deliverances. I know people that have done 50,000. Another guy that I'm friends with has done 10,000. Unforgiveness is huge. If the person has unforgiveness, if you're a deliverance minister, say amen. If the person has unforgiveness, the demon does not have to leave and likely won't leave. So you got to deal with unforgiveness. I'll give you a verse for this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible says to forgive, otherwise Satan will have an advantage over you. So if you like Satan having an advantage over your life, have unforgiveness. If you want to break that advantage, you need to forgive and deal with your unforgiveness. We need to make sure that we're telling the person you have to forgive before we start. Now, we haven't even started. Step 2, we're just getting warmed up here. We haven't even started deliverance. We're now renouncing and we're now dealing with unforgiveness. I would have them verbally say. Now, I personally wouldn't start taking them back to their trauma. I know some people do. I'm not going to say, you know, you're a heretic if you do that. I don't like taking people back. I like taking people forward. So I know some guys are like, let's go back to when it happened. I don't like doing that. It gets weird. The person, it's just weird. It's like, no, we're not going to go back to when you were raped at 5. We're going to forgive them and that's it. You don't even have to tell me what happened. We're just going to forgive the person and we're going to move forward. And why? Are you going to forgive them? Because Christ has forgiven you and you are way worse on what you did to Christ. You put Christ on the cross and he forgave you. So we're going to forgive the person. Unforgiveness, you can write this down. I tell people this when I do these sessions. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. Okay, so you're just killing yourself. And really, forgiving them is not saying what they're doing is right or okay. It's releasing yourself from the bondage that you've put yourself in. Okay, and then the number three of step two. So this is the last thing I would do. And I started implementing this, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. Verbally tell the demons that you don't want them there. And the reason why I started doing this is demons would always in deliverance start saying, they want me here. She likes me. She wants me. She doesn't want me to leave. And so just so that I don't have to stop the deliverance to make sure and tell the person, you need to tell the demon you don't want them there, I start the deliverance by verbally having them say, Satan, I am not your home. I do not want you. You must go. I'm done with you. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I literally have the person saying that. And then that leads me into step three. This is where things get real, is confront the demon, okay? Most people have never confronted a demon in their life, and most people have never had a demon in them confronted. So I have people say, like, I can't believe that I've lived 40 years in church with a demon and didn't know about it. How is that possible, Isaiah? And it strikes unbelief in them. And I ask them this question, have you ever had anybody confront a demon in you? Well, let me think, 40 years of being in the church, have I ever? No, I've never had somebody. Okay, so if nobody ever confronted the demon, do you think the demon's voluntarily going to leave you? Think about this. The demon calls you its home, and now you are coming to evict it. Do you think that you'd be mad? Imagine you live in a house for 40 years, okay? You look like a hoarder at that point. 40 years, your garage is full, your house is full. And then I come and knock on your door one day and say, hey, by the way, you have to leave your house of 40 years. And not only that, you don't have to leave tomorrow. You don't have to leave tonight. You have to leave right this very moment. You and all of your possessions have to leave now. Do you think you might get a little bit mad? Do you think you might scream and cry and get angry and be like, my kids are here, my friends are here, I've been here for years, I love my home, I'm comfortable? That's exactly what deliverance is. We are confronting the demon, saying you cannot live here any longer. You must leave with all of your pesky relatives. You are coming up and out, not later, not tonight, now in Jesus' name. You are being evicted. What authority do you have? The Holy Ghost. The authority of Christ. So we must confront. If you don't confront the demon will never manifest or surface. Now, not every demon will manifest. And by manifest, that word manifest means what's in darkness is now brought to the light. Okay, so when I say the word manifest, that's as simple as, let's say, for example, I'm praying for a guy and he starts growling, right? That's not normal. Maybe for some of you it is, but we're going to pray for you. I have a family member that growls every time I pray for them. And I'm like, do you realize you're growling? They're like, no, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you're literally, every time I pray for you, you manifest a demon, but they're in denial. And denial is not just a river in Egypt. It's a real thing. So I'm like, thank you, Jared, for the courtesy dad joke there. So he's heard me say that too many times. Here's the bottom line. When people are in denial, they won't receive deliverance. Now, this family member in specific, hopefully he doesn't watch this because he knows who he is. This family member, he doesn't want to be free because he's too prideful. He doesn't believe he can have a demon because he's a Christian. But I'm like, bro, every time I pray for you, you start growling like a dog. So there's either a dog in you, but he's like, I'm not growling. I'm like, do you want me to record it? Like, you're literally like, as I'm praying, he's mad. So that would be a manifestation, right? The demon that's been hiding in darkness is now brought up to the light manifesting. Another manifesting would be like a person, the demon talking out of the person, right? So you have a young girl and then a man starts speaking out of the person. I was telling pastors last night that I had a lady that was brought to me. She only spoke Spanish, did not speak a lick of English. She came for deliverance. And so of course we had a translator. I'm Hispanic, but sadly I don't know Spanish. I know, it's sad. It's a whole story. Anyways, we're doing deliverance on this lady, and we're having the translator translate, which is hard. If you ever do a deliverance where a person, it's not easy to do. And so halfway through deliverance, like, I'm struggling because the demon's speaking out in Spanish. The translators are getting scared. They're trying to tell me, but they're scared, so they don't know what's going on. They're in unbelief. So then the Lord's like, just tell the demon to speak English. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. And I'm like, I didn't know this worked, right? I didn't know. But then I'm like, wait, demons don't have brains, so they could like speak any language. So then I said, I command. Now this lady does not know English, never spoke English in her life. Her family and the translators there with me and some of her family brought her. And so I said, I command you, this demon, speak to me in English. And this lady went from never speaking, well, it wasn't the lady, it was the demon. So, but this lady's body had never spoke English, and now we're doing deliverance in fluent English with this lady. Why? Because again, demons are not as dumb as you think they are. I know your pastor taught you, like, they're stupid. They're not dumb. These demons are thousands of years old. They've seen rulers come, kings fall. They've seen princes come, princes fall. In fact, I shared this also last night. I was doing a deliverance one time and I stalled out. So I didn't know what to do. The demon wouldn't leave. It was laughing at me. It wouldn't. So at that point, I was real early in my salvation. I was like, you know, well, I'll pray over their finances. I don't know. I'm trying every prayer. I'm decreeing, I'm declaring, I'm blasting every scripture at them. So I thought, okay, this isn't working. I'm just going to preach the gospel to this demon because this thing's laughing at me, growling at me, and acting like a chihuahua. So I'm like, I'm just going to speak the gospel to it. So I literally started telling the demon, and I just got my best Pentecostal voice. I'm like, it was at Golgotha that he carried the cross. I'm like telling the demon all about Jesus and how he carried the cross. And on that hill, he died, and on Calvary, blood was shed. The demon stops me dead in my tracks and says, don't tell me about the cross. I was there when they crucified him. Out of this person. And I responded with, you lying spirit. The moment I said, you lying spirit, I heard the Holy Spirit say, the demon's not lying. The demon was there. And I realized, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. My little Starbucks Christianity is not enough to overthrow these ancient. These spirits are ancient. Like last night we were dealing with a spirit named Zeus. I'm like, I don't know, but hey, Zeus, we're going to cast it out. These are ancient demons that have been around for thousands of years. We cannot come with our little cappuccino Jesus thinking that we're going to overthrow ancient demons. We got to come with some serious fight in us. Amen. So anyways, the demons have been there. They must be confronted. And that's confronting. That's basically just calling them out. So I would start saying, like, I call out the spirit of lust. I command these spirits to come up and face me. I command these spirits to manifest themselves, make themselves known. And then that would take us into step number four is, let me also say this. If the demon doesn't manifest, it doesn't mean they're not getting delivered. Okay. We're not looking, I got to make sure I say this before I go to the next step. We're not looking for manifestation, we're looking for freedom. Now, personally, I like when people manifest because it makes me feel like it's working, but it's not always necessary. I know people that are disappointed because they're like, I didn't manifest, and they've gotten fully delivered, right? In Luke 13, the woman did not manifest that we know of, yet she got free. So what are we looking for? Freedom, not manifestation. We're looking for freedom, okay? Now, what if the person doesn't manifest, the demons don't surface? I would just keep putting pressure. I would play worship music. I would take a time of prayer. And then sometimes the person's just not ready to be free. It's like 2 hours in. Let me just say this. If you are 2 hours in and you haven't even started confronting the demon yet, they're not ready. Okay, they need to go to counseling, not deliverance. Then when they're ready for deliverance, come to us. Because our job is to drive the demons out. Our job is not to talk to you for 5 hours about what you're trying to work through, your unforgiveness. Now, we will because we're nice, but we're really there to cast demons out, not to give you a 4-hour counseling session. So I will oftentimes like cut people off and say, okay, it's been an hour and a half. We haven't even started praying yet. Honestly, sweetie, I don't think you're ready to be delivered. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of stuff you're trying to work through. So if it's 2 hours and we haven't started confronting, you probably are not ready. We really, as deliverance ministers, we want to be there when they're ready to be free. We're not there to try to spend 10 hours counseling them to get to a place where they're ready. They should be coming to you ready. Now, you could talk them through and work them through, but as deliverance ministers, we're working through trying to get those demons out of them. All right, how do I stop someone from manifesting? I already talked about that. You need to call them by name. If it's not the right time, it's not the right place. It's not religious to stop a deliverance. I know some of you are like, you're the devil, you stopped them, they were getting free. No, we're going to stop you because we're preaching the word. We're going to take you to a back room and we're going to start the deliverance and do it again. If the demon manifested once, we're going to get it to manifest again. So if we call them by name, we can stop them from manifesting. Okay, step four. We're going to not take much longer. I know the food gets here around 11, so we'll be good. Number four is you need to bind the demons in Jesus' name, and then, very simple, command them to go into the abyss, all right? We have the power to bind demons. The word bind simply means to tie up, to arrest. I will often say, I bind them in Jesus' name. I'll say it a lot of times, and I'll say, I cancel your assignment. The Bible doesn't give a lot of information on where to send demons. We know that in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, write that down, in the King James Version, the demons beg Jesus, don't send us to the deep, which is the Greek word, the abyss, okay? So there's only one place we know of that demons don't want to go, and that's the best place, in my opinion, we should send them. Now, again, the Bible doesn't tell us where to send them, but hey, if the demon doesn't want to go there, that's probably a good place to send them. There's also a place where Jesus sent them into pigs. That was not normative, meaning in theological terms, that wasn't something he normally did. So don't make a practice out of sending demons into the horses next door, okay? Don't make a practice out of sending demons into the cows, the cats, the dogs. Just because you don't like your neighbor's dogs, if you send demons into them, they're going to bark more. So don't. Now, again, is it possible Yeah, it's just not script. It's not normative. All right? It is scriptural because Jesus did cast them into pigs. But remember, the pigs ran off the cliff and died. So I just wouldn't be killing your neighbor's animals. A lot of people out here, it's their livelihood, is their farm. So don't be casting demons into the horses down the road. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 7. What is the abyss? The abyss is the place of the dead. Revelation 17 says the Antichrist will rise up out of the abyss. And then the word pit and the word abyss and the word the deep are all the same, all right? So like, well, that guy says the pit, you say the abyss, it's all the same. It means the same thing. Revelation chapter 20 says the abyss is where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years before being set out again. So I'm trying to lay a framework for you. It seems like the abyss is a holding place for demons, all right? Revelation 9, the abyss is described as an area under the earth that has a shaft where smoke comes out like a furnace. This is my personal belief, is that demons are sent to the abyss where they are chained, waiting until judgment, where the Bible says they will be judged again, okay? Revelation chapter 20, this is a great verse. One day all the demons will be in their own torment in the lake of fire. So the abyss is where they wait until final judgment. At that great white throne judgment, there's coming a day where the false prophet, the Antichrist, the beast, the devil, and every demon in hell, Revelation 20:10, the Bible says, is going to get thrown into the burning lake of sulfur, the burning lake of fire, the eternal lake of fire. This is not to be confused with Hades, which is the current hell. This is a different place where everybody that is in hell now, the Bible says hell, will get emptied out, and all the dead that are in hell will be thrown in the burning lake of fire along with the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, and every demon. So at some point, every demon tormenting you now is going to burn for all of eternity. That is why when Jesus showed up, what did the demon say? Have you come to torment us before the what? The time. They knew that their time was limited, that judgment was coming, and that one day they are going to be judged and thrown in the lake of fire. That's great news in my opinion. All right, so the abyss is a safe place to send them. And I have this written down here as well. Oftentimes, write this down, demons leave out of the mouth. If we are a house, the eyes are the window to the soul, and the mouth is the front door. If you kick somebody out of their house, yes, sometimes they can come out through the window, but most of the time, if somebody leaves their home, they're going to come out the front door. So oftentimes, the demons come out of the mouth. You've probably heard me say this. I usually will say, I command you out of their mouth and into the abyss. It's not magical. It's just demons are very legalistic, very specific. So I like to specifically tell them, come out of the person's mouth and go into the abyss. So I'll often say that. I found great success saying that. You can say whatever you want. I just like to tell them to come out of the mouth. In Acts 8, we see them screaming. Of course, that's out of the mouth. As they lift their victims, demons speak out of the what? Out of the mouth. And so a lot of stuff's taking place, which leads to, why are people always gagging and vomiting in deliverance? Like, they're coughing up. It's very, very simple. The spirits are living in them. When the spirit comes out and up through their esophagus, it triggers their gag reflex, and it makes them feel like they want to vomit. There's no magic in the vomiting. Now, some of you have seen people vomit up black stuff and vomit up stuff that smells like, and this sounds gross, but burning hair and burning flesh. I've seen this. I've heard this. So there might be some spiritual component to that. But usually when people are at the altar vomiting and coughing, it's just the demon coming up through their esophagus, triggering their gag reflex. And so a lot of times people will cough out demons. They will gag up demons, or they will yawn out demons. If somebody's in deliverance making big yawns, their mouth is opening real wide, it's likely the demons are leaving out of their mouth, okay? So you might say, well, how do I know if the demon has the demon left and is not just hiding? We look for signs, right? So if I'm praying for somebody and I'm commanding the spirit of lust to leave, I usually will have one person in my deliverance team with a notepad or an app, right? I use the app, but whatever. And they're taking notes of every demon that surfaces so that when I get to my sixth step, and we're not there yet, we can go back and make sure every demon has left. Now, if I think the spirit of lust has left the person, I will go back later. I like to look people in the eye and I'll start saying, if the lust is still there, I want you to come up. If lust is still there, I want you to come out. And if the person starts twitching, acting weird or manifesting, guess what? Lust hasn't left, all right? So I'm looking for physical cues, verbal cues, and real cues to see whether the demon has left or not. And if it hasn't, we're gonna continue to bind. So that's the biggest process, is binding. Now, step number 5 is if the demon hasn't left or won't leave, you need to find out why, all right? Deliverance is like a jigsaw puzzle. There's never a deliverance that's the same as the last. Every deliverance is different. Why? Because every person is different. Every person's life is different. And as I told you earlier about my friend that's done 50,000, There's way more demons than we could ever imagine. Some people say that there's millions upon millions of angels. Well, if one third of those have been cast out of heaven, then there's millions upon millions of demons. There's more demons than we can imagine. I'm not fully sure how it works, but there's lots of demons. So if you don't know why it hasn't left, it could be a few reasons. It could be there's a legal right that hasn't been broken. It could be that the demon's holding out on you, and that is they're outlasting you. Now, this is a strategy that people don't talk about, where demons will try to last longer than you, okay? So they say, all right, we know, and again, don't tell the person that, hey, I got to go at 3 o'clock because the demon will play on that. I was walking in to pray for a friend's sister. She was dealing with a bunch of sickness, and we realized all of her medical conditions were a demon, not physical. And so I told her family, I said, hey, you guys have taken her to every doctor. She's having all these female issues. And I really feel like the Lord saying it's a demon. Can we pray for her for deliverance? I said, yeah, come back, you know, maybe in 2 days and we'll have you come. So these are pastor friends of mine. So we went back to pray for my pastor friend's sister, who was, I don't know how old, maybe 16 years old, and her family. Before we walked into their house, I had a prayer meeting at, I think it was 6 or 7 o'clock. So I had about 2 hours, like on the dot, I had to go lead a prayer meeting at my church. And so I told the team, I said, guys, we have about, I think, an hour and a half, 2 hours max. Let's get this done. Like, let's get serious. Let's not spend hours talking. All right. But she's in the house. They don't hear us. They don't know, none of that. But at 6 o'clock, we got to leave, okay, on the dot, latest. So we go in there, we're praying, an hour goes by, hour and a half. It's getting to the point where I have to leave, and I'm like, there's this last demon hanging on that will not leave. And I literally said, told the demon, because I'm stuck, why won't you leave? And the demon said, because you have to leave in 30 minutes. So the demon told me, he said, you have to leave at 6 o'clock, so I'm just going to wait longer. So the demon was resisting, although in deliverance, the demon's being tormented. How many of you know, and this sounds a little bit morbid, but I don't have another definition for it. When you get prisoners of wars and they interrogate them, they'll often last 8 hours, 10 hours, and you can interrogate them and torture them. But at some point, the torture's too much. They're going to give you the information you need. Demons are very similar when you're doing deliverance. They're being tormented, but some of them will hold out on you, trying to see, are you really going to stay longer than me? And so you got to let that devil know, I'm going to outlast you. I'm going to outfight you. And again, I like to stick around 2 hours, but if it goes 3 or 4, I want to see the person free. And if my schedule permits, I'm going to fight them through. So I don't know how the demon heard me. I don't know how that happened, but somehow the demon, she didn't know. The girl had no clue we had a prayer meeting, but somehow the demon knew that we had to leave. So it was holding out on me. Okay. So it could also be they have unforgiveness. This is where I would, at this point, I would engage in conversation if I have to. I don't talk to demons because I want to. Write this down. I talk to demons because I have to. So we're never there just like, we don't start the deliverance by being like, what is your name, spirit? I never start that way. I start with binding them, casting them out. And then if they're stubborn, if I have to, I won't have conversation. I'll have confrontation. Okay, so it's not conversation, it's interrogation. I'm not being there like, hey, what are you doing for lunch, demon? Where are you? In my early days, I got stuck because it was so intriguing asking the demon all these questions like, where'd you come from? And do you have any siblings? And, you know, I would literally ask like, I mean, one time in my early days, there was a group of witches coming to our revival, and this person was manifesting, and the demon was telling me about these witches, right? It was like, yeah, those witches are coming. This is where they live. Me and my team spent like an hour getting all this information about these witches, where they live, their addresses, their phone numbers. I'm like, I was the FBI in that moment. But I realized, all right, this is not only is it wrong for the person being delivered, because you're actually using them as a medium. Think about this. Here, look. You're using them as a medium to talk to demons, but it's incredibly painful for them to sit there for an hour while you're talking to a demon through them. So that was a mistake. Do not do that. Learn from my mistakes. We don't want to talk to them unless we have to. We see this in Mark chapter 5. Jesus commanded repeatedly, look at this, the demon to leave. The demon didn't leave. When Jesus commanded it to go, then Jesus said, what is your name? Okay. So he commanded the demon to go. The demon withstood Jesus, did not leave. And then Jesus said, what is your name? And the man said, my name is Legion, for we are many. All right. And then Jesus commanded the demon to leave. And oftentimes Jesus would command demons by name to leave. So it's not wrong to talk to demons. Some helpful reasons why you might talk to a demon are, number one, that demon could reveal other demons hiding. So it might say there's seven of us. And they will literally tell on each other. You're going to find out they're like little kids. They tell on each other. They give each other up. So number one could be they reveal other demons hiding. Number two, they could reveal the amount of demons there. And these are, again, useful reasons why a demon would talk. Number three, they might tell you why they entered in and why they're not leaving. So why they came and why they won't go. Number four is they might reveal some type of curse or vex or hex or things spoken over them. And that needs to be broken. Number five is they might reveal objects that they're attached to, which I've literally seen this happen. I won't go into all the stories, but I have stories in my book that's coming out in November about this. Number six is they could tell you how long they've been in the person. And number seven, knowing the name of the demon will help you understand its function and its strategy. Okay, so if you know a demon of confusion is there, what do you think the demon's going to try to do in deliverance? Ding, 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 confuse you. If you know what a spirit of lying is there, what is the demon going to do in deliverance? They're going to lie to you. If you know the demon of lust is there, the demon's going to act very lustful, which is why, I should have said this in the beginning, never under any circumstances do deliverance as a man by yourself with a female. I just said that in the very beginning, but I forgot. Okay, so if I do deliverance, I will never. I had one pastor bring me in to do deliverance on all of his staff. And he's like, well, one of my pastors, she's female. She doesn't want any other males there. She only wants you to pray for her. I said, 0% chance. I will never, ever be caught dead in a room with a lady by myself, right? It's her word against mine, and I'm not getting caught up. So I need to have another female in the room and another male in the room to make sure there's accountability. Also, females, do not be going and meeting up at midnight at some guy's house to do deliverance on him, all right? I'm telling you right now, it's not fruitful. I could go a lot of different directions, but make sure there's, if you're doing deliverance on a female, there's another female. It's helpful if there's more than one other female. If you're male, make sure there's a male helping you with the deliverance. I know some of you like, that's legalism. I promise you, it's just gonna help and you'll avoid that. And then I should have mentioned this earlier. When you're doing deliverance, make sure when you schedule one, the person's wearing comfortable clothing that's not revealing, all right? I've literally had people come to deliverance wearing low-cut shirts and booty shorts. I'm like, nope, reschedule, not happening. Because in deliverance, there's a lot of thrashing, a lot of moving, a lot of things, and spirits of lust, they act lustful, and it gets really weird really quick. So just make sure you're using discretion. I will usually not lay hands on a female anywhere, but usually her shoulder. Sometimes even that, I'm like weary of laying hands on her shoulder, but usually it's the forehead I lay hands on with women. You just don't want to be touchy. Do not be putting your hand on women's stomach. It's just a sensitive area. It's not appropriate. Of course, you should not be putting your hand on their chest. I hate that I have to say this, but you'd be surprised, guys at the altar that I see, having their hands on women's chest while they're praying. Like, come on, guys. We need to do better. Just be appropriate and have them wearing comfortable clothing and appropriate clothing. Okay, so that's all that. I know a lot of you will say, well, demons lie. They often actually don't lie. In fact, there's nowhere in Scripture where a demon lies. In fact, demons were truthful when they manifested, which is a whole weird thing, but sometimes they will lie, use discretion. I've come to find about 90% of the time when asking them information, they're not gonna lie. So yeah, use that. Take what they're saying as a grain of salt, but that's the reasons why you might wanna ask their name and stuff. We're almost done. You can also call on angels to help you. Let me give you some verses. I won't read them for the sake of time, but get ready to write these down. Psalms 91:11, Hebrews 1:14, Psalms 103 verse 20, Exodus 23 verse 20, Acts chapter 5 verse 19, and Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7. You can write all those down. I was doing deliverance on a guy who was an MMA fighter. He was fighting a bunch of local fights in our area. Really big guy, and long story short, we were praying for him. There was a bunch of us guys, and a couple of the guys that were with us were big guys. We could not hold him down. This was in my early days, and we didn't know what to do. He was thrashing, he was growling, he was throwing us off, and I got genuinely scared. I said, Lord, I never read this in a book. I never knew about this. I didn't even know this was possible, but I said, Lord, send your angels to hold him down. The moment I said that, this guy went from fighting us, thrashing, literally trying to punch us, to flat on his back on the ground. His arm went down to the ground, his other arm went down to the ground, and he was completely pinned on the ground with nobody touching him. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, it worked. I was not expecting that, y'all. And so the demon starts screaming out of him saying, you can't even make this stuff up. The demon starts saying, get these things off of me. Get these things off of me. And I was like, what things? And it's like, these angels, you idiot, get these angels off of me. And so this is an early story, okay, so don't judge me. I literally went to where his hands were held down and I started going, because I wanted to feel the angels. I was like, I'm touching angels. My friend's like, bro, it was crazy. But my point is, yes, it's funny, but you can ask for angels to help. Since that, I've done it in a more appropriate manner, where I'm like, Lord, will you send your angels? Now, we don't command angels, because they don't work for us, they work for God. We don't say, I command the angel Michael, come down. We don't do none of that, okay? We're not Catholics. We ask. We ask for angels. Jesus said, I can ask the Father and he'll send angels to help. So we gotta ask. They're not on our payroll, they're on God's payroll. So don't be out there trying to command angels all over the place. Just ask the Lord, he'll send them. All right, we're almost done. We got about 5 more Pentecostal minutes. Number 6 is go back. This is step 6. So now you found out why they haven't left. Hopefully now you've worked it out. You've gone through that, dealt with the stubborn demon. And then now number 6, you're done with the deliverance. You think, usually you're not, but you think you're done. You're done with step 5. Oh man, I'm tired. I'm ready for some Chick-fil-A. Praise the Lord. We're done. I need some sweet tea. Number 6, and you have to do this, even though you're tired and you want to go home and your wife's texting you saying, where are you? The kids are going crazy. You get home and spank this kid. Number 6 is you need to go back and check and make sure everything's gone, all right? And this is simply as now, remember you had somebody hopefully writing names of all the demons you think are there and have left. This is going back and commanding those demons that you think left to make themselves known and bind them once again to see if they manifest. And it's frustrating because I've had a list, like say I have a list of 10 demons, right? Pastor, you're gonna know what I'm saying here. And you think you're done, you've gone through all 9, nothing has surfaced, and you're at number 10 and you're like, Lord, please don't let this be there, please. And then you're like, Jezebel, if you're there. And then they, rah! You're just like, here we go. And you're, because you already know we gotta start back on step 3, you know what I mean? But it's just the reality. Because demons will come up, I'm telling you, this is what they do. They'll tire you out, and then they'll tag team. They'll go back down, another demon will come up out of the person and tag team, and they'll wear you out. And so they will do this. You gotta be very vigilant, and you gotta know their plans. You gotta make sure if they're trying to hide, you tell them, you're not gonna go hide, I wanna speak to this spirit. Make it come back until you get it out. It's a warfare, guys, it's a fight. I'm trying to give this to you in an hour, but yes, go back. Couple things you can do. You can call the demons out that you've already named previously, okay? And you can look at their reaction. If their eye starts twitching, if they start getting all weird, then you know the demon's probably still there. Here we go again. You can also, very important, ask the Holy Spirit for words of knowledge. I should have put this earlier. Guys, the gifts of the Spirit work amazing in deliverance, okay? Sometimes I'll go into deliverance and the Lord will literally give me a word of knowledge for every demon. I don't even need to talk to the demon. I already know every demon there because the Lord already told me. How many of you know, and some people don't know this, God knows everything. So the spirit in you already knows every single spirit they're dealing with. He will give you vital information to helping you do the deliverance, all right? So ask the Holy Spirit for word of knowledge. Look at body language. And then lastly, I would say, look the person in the eye and see if you detect anything. Because sometimes their eyes will twitch or for whatever reason, I don't know why, demons hate making eye contact. They hate looking. I shared the story last night where I got delivered from the spirit of shame. I could never make eye contact. Demons hate making eye contact. So make eye contact with them, which leads me, we're almost done, to step number 7. This is the most important step. Last but not least, when you're done, oh, we're finally done. I didn't even get paid for that. That was a lot of work. That was 3 hours. But step number 7 is pray for the Holy Spirit to fill them. Okay, I like to, it's not required, but I like to do it. I like to anoint them with oil. So when they're done, I'll get some anointing oil and I'll just smear some anointing oil on their forehead. That's obviously symbolic to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'll smear some olive oil on their forehead and I will pray for them to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, for God's Spirit to fill them, for God's power. I'll literally say any empty area where the demon has left now, I pray, Lord, that you would fill those empty areas, Lord, because they'll feel empty. They'll feel drained. They'll be like, everything's gone. Well, now we're going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray protection over them. Remember what Jesus said, if the house is empty, the demons come back. So we need to pray that God would fill the house. After that, you can clap your hands, you can pray, you can worship, you can hug them, you can take a picture, whatever you feel. But at that point, you have set the captives free. How many are excited that we have authority over unclean spirits? Amen. All right, we're gonna say a prayer. Is this okay if I say a prayer and land it here? Yeah. Okay, I'll bring you up. All right, we're going to say a prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing today, God. Lord, I thank you that in Alabama, there is a mighty remnant of deliverance warriors. I thank you, God, that you are raising up a group of people that are unapologetic. That's what I hear the Lord saying today. He says, you are going to be unapologetic about deliverance. You're not going to apologize for it. You're not going to be ashamed of it, but you are going to walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray today that you would raise up fearless deliverance warriors. I pray today, God, that you would anoint them with your power, that God, you would anoint them with your spirit, and that God, you would empower them to cast out demons. Jesus, we are your ambassadors. We are your disciples on the earth. And I pray, Lord, that your will would be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. So Father, right now, I commission every single person in this room to cast out demons. Right now, God, I pray that you would send us, God. Lord, I pray that you'd give us compassion, God, for those that are all around us that are broken, God, that are hurting and that are demonized. God, I'm so tired of sleeping peacefully at night while my friends and family are demonized. God, I'm so tired of not walking in compassion. Jesus, I pray that, God, we would weep like you wept. God, I pray that we would have compassion on those that are in bondage. Like in Luke 13, you said, doesn't she deserve to be delivered and loosed? God, doesn't our friends and family deserve to be free? God, doesn't this generation deserve to be free? I pray, Lord, set up deliverance encounters right now in our lives. God, I literally pray that this week you will bring those that need deliverance to us. God, I pray for every person that raised their hand and said, I've never done this, that God, this week, they will have a chance, a divine appointment to set the captives free from the youngest in the room to the oldest in the room. God, I pray that you would use us to do deliverance in this generation. God, I pray mark us and I pray use us for your honor and your glory. And I pray against the spirit of fear. The Bible says God has not given us, and that word fear in the Greek, you probably know this, it means to be timid. It's not being like, I'm afraid. It literally means I'm timid, I'm shy, I'm not bold. And I pray that God, you would break the spirit of fear and you'd replace it with a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. We pray today in Jesus' name, we would walk in no longer fear, but we'd walk in authority and boldness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Okay, I want to share, there's a bird on screen, that's awkward. I want to share a thought with you, and that is, I'm live by the way, hello, this is me. This is the only time, think about this chat, this is the only time in history where you will have the ability to cast out demons. This is the only time, this is your moment, you're going to get to heaven one day, and you're not going to have the authority, you're not going to have the power, and you're not going to need to drive out demons. But right now is your moment to cast out demons. This is the time in your life where you can do what Jesus has called you to do. So don't wait. Don't wait around. Don't live your life waiting until some random day where you're going to start being active. I think a lot of us, including me, are going to live in eternal regret in heaven because there's so much we didn't do that we could have done. So guys, I'm really alive. Yes, John Bradshaw. Guys, this is your moment. You're called. You are enlisted. If you've never had anybody tell you, you are called right now to drive out demons. You are called right now to heal the sick. You are called right now to make disciples, to preach to people, to baptize people, to preach the gospel and the good news of Jesus. So don't wait any longer. That's what I'm trying to get you guys. I've been trying for the last 6 years of live streaming, the last 13 years of ministry, to get you guys to realize this is your moment. Get on the front lines. Get off the sidelines. You're called. Every one of us have something in common. And that is, we know somebody that's demonized around us. We all know somebody that needs freedom. We all know somebody that needs deliverance. Hello, brothers. Hello, sisters. We all know somebody that needs freedom. And why are we going to keep waiting? Why are we going to keep waiting? It can't be this way. It can't be okay that my friends and family live in prison and I have the key. It can't be this way that my friends and family live in bondage and I have the authority and power in Christ. Guys, what good is it that you have the same spirit that raised Christ, but you never utilize it? That you've been given these miraculous, powerful gifts of the Spirit, but you never use them. Like, I have the Holy Ghost. It's like, for what? We don't walk in the power. We don't walk in the anointing. Let's walk in this. You shall receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. Not Jehovah Witnesses. Literal witnesses in the earth. So you get power, not a bad attitude. You don't become boring when you get the Holy Ghost. You get power to do the work. That's exciting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. All right. So I wanted to play that teaching with you guys. I'm actually going to preach a message tonight just live on the broadcast. And then I'm like, I want to share that breakout session with them. And I decided to do it live tonight. I have a couple more sermons I'll be sharing in the weeks. Probably not like on the lives anymore, but I'll be sharing them this week. I'll just upload them as videos. So you guys will get everything that I did in Alabama and Georgia. And then next weekend, actually not next weekend. Wow. This weekend, we have the Breakers Conference. It is sold out, but if you're not going, you can go to Ticketmaster.com/sell your ticket. I don't know. I post it on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're not going and you have a ticket, sell your ticket so somebody else can go. So somebody else can fill your seat. All right. That's going to be this weekend. We have 10,000 people have bought tickets to the Breakers Conference. It's going to be amazing. Also, sow into what God is doing. We're looking for people to partner with us for this new year. Most people partner for 1 year. So we're at the end of the year. Tons of people are canceling their partnership, which is totally fine. It's expiring. So pray about becoming a monthly partner or re-signing up if you were a partner in the past. You can do that here. You can sow into the broadcast. These streams are how we survive. That's the frank way to put it. That's what it is. We stream for free. We put all our content out for free on YouTube. And the way we survive is by these broadcasts. Also, what I taught tonight, I know you probably haven't heard about this, but I have a book coming out. November 12th, a week after the election. How to Cast Out Demons, Everything You Need to Know About Deliverance. All of that I taught and more, way more in depth, is in this book. Everything you need to know. Get it for you. Get it for your friends. Get it for your family. Pre-order it. Tell your kids. Tell your wife. Tell your everybody. It's there on Amazon. The link's in the description and the comments. All right? So what's going on? You're still a partner. Thank you so much. Got delivered today after 2 years. Let's go. Let's go. Tomorrow, we have a lot of stuff coming up. Tomorrow night, we have an amazing broadcast with Radar Apologetics. We're going to be talking about Jesus, Jewishness, and Israel. But tomorrow afternoon, we have a very important announcement on the channel about the deliverance map. We have big changes coming to the deliverance map. And yes, so that's coming tomorrow. It's going to be coming today, but I decided to change things, which I'll explain in the video that's coming tomorrow. Deliverance map, we have big changes for the better. All right. We were doing something that was probably going to disappoint a lot of you, but we changed it up. Felt like we need to do something different. So yeah, I'll announce all of that tomorrow. The video will be filmed tonight. I'll announce it tomorrow. So you don't want to miss that. The deliverance map is going to be better than ever. A lot of you guys' complaints will be going away because we're changing up the way we're doing it. But God is moving. Great things are happening in the kingdom right now. Where's Carl? He's right here. I'll put him back on. I was just trying to tell you something serious, and he was kind of ruining the flow there. All right. So partner with us. Give Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all of that. We're not beggars, we're believers. It helps us to continue to do what we're doing. I'm going to stay on here for another like 10 to 15 minutes, and then Jared and Candace will be going live with worship and prayer. How many of you love that Jared and Candace, after every Monday and Tuesday stream, they have a worship and prayer stream? It's just amazing. You can turn it on in your home, fall asleep to it, worship, prayer, get ministered to. You get the word, you get the teaching, then you get the ministry. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. So thank you guys for partnering, sowing, all of that. Tomorrow night, we'll have a broadcast live. We'll be live. Well, maybe Thursday. I'm leaving Friday to Chicago. So I may not go live Thursday. I may be filming. I'm not sure. Thursday's up in the air when I'm traveling. But this will be my last event of the year. And then January, I'll be in Arizona. So I'll announce that soon. I'll be in Mesa, Arizona in January. Is this a pigeon? Yes. If you're a new viewer, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You'll get 70 sermons sent to you, 20% off the merch store, and then invited to our partners call, which we have a prayer call every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. If you're a monthly partner, you have a link to that. Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Don't miss those prayer calls. The links to become a partner are on the screen, and you can click them. It's isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. So you could give monthly any amount, even if it's like 50 cents, you'll still get invited in all the links, okay? All right, and any questions you guys have or anything you want to tell me, you love me. I love you too, Vibrant. Blah, 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 blah. I love you too, Vibrant Drums. Hello, Pigeon. Hello, Mimo. Excited for Saturday. The Breakers Conference is going to be huge. Huge. It's going to be historic. 10,000 people in an arena preaching mass deliverance. You're going to have Mike Signorelli, Vlad Pagani, Greg Locke, Jeremiah Johnson, Shane Winnings. I'm missing people. I'll be there. Jenny Weaver. Everybody's going to be there. Everybody. If you're not there, I mean, where are you? I don't know. I'm not trying to be rude, but if you're not there, you're missing out big time. So yes, if you have a ticket and you're not able to go, please resell your ticket. You can get your money back. You can resell on Ticketmaster. We don't want there to be a bunch of empty seats when it's sold out. So if you're disappointed you don't have a ticket, go check Ticketmaster because people are reselling them because they're not able to make it after all. Will it be streamed? I don't know. I don't know. How are you so relaxed and more battling experience? Amen. Please come to DC at some point. How much for Chicago? The tickets were $20. Hey, guys, again, it's in an arena. This is, let's just say, for those who think that we're like making any money, Pastor Mike, who's hosting this event, V1 Church, they will be heavily in the negative. So a lot of money. If you don't know, arenas are very expensive. This is a secular arena. It's not like they're like, oh, you guys speak in tongues? You could have the arena for free. Not how it works. So I believe the tickets were $20, depending on where you're at. But yeah, I don't know about the resale. You have to just check. Okay? But we will not be charging $300 for a conference at our own church like some cessationists do. Just saying. Shots fired. Excited I'll be there. I'm glad you'll be there. Okay. I will hope to meet a lot of you, but there's 10,000 people, so it's obviously impossible for any of us to meet everybody. So I don't know how it's going to work. We want to do meet and greets, but the security that is at the venue basically told us, like, they don't know if we're able to. We're going to see because the crowds are going to be large. So we'll see. It's going to be great. Generational curses are a real thing. You can definitely pray to break them. Oh, it would not be streamed? Okay, so as of right now, it's not, but things could change. You never know. Don't dine and dash, so where you grow. Amen. So where you grow. It's crazy. People go get sushi and spend $90, and then they're like, I have to pay $20 to get into an arena. I don't know what to tell you. Come out to Utah. Familiar spirits are demons. They are just demons that impersonate people or are familiar with the person that they are impersonating. So if you have like a family member that died and then they're coming to you at night, it's not your family member. It's a familiar spirit. It's a demon familiar with you and familiar with them and turns into making themselves look like your family member to deceive you. Great preaching. Thank you so much, Bookend Tackles. Sushi's good. Amen. Amen. The only dates I have right now, I'll be in Chicago this weekend and then... You know what? This bird's a little bit too big here. We just need to, you need to get a little bit smaller. I'll be in Chicago this weekend, and then I will be in Arizona in January. Those are the only dates I have for you right now. When you come to the Philippines, I've actually been a few times. We used to have an orphanage in the Philippines. That's a story for a different day, but I've been to Manila and Mabalacat a few times. Two or three times? I don't remember, but as of right now, I'm just doing the U.S. Yes, there will be a church service after the Breakers Conference on Sunday. I don't know where that information would be. Go to V1 Church website. V1 Church website. I'm sure they have info on that. How's pickleball going? It's going good. I still love it. Me and Alyssa were playing this afternoon, and we love it still. I love it. She loves it too, but not as much as me. All right. Why is there a pigeon? That's my pet. That's Carl. I will be at Lifesong soon, Linda, hopefully. Yes, I do plan to be there soon. When does the book come out again? November 12th, a week after the election. Guys, what is going on with this election? I hope you watched the video I put out reviewing Jonathan Kahn's opinion on the election. The sleeping with gospel music heal? Maybe. That's awesome, Unpopular Girls Podcast. Another couples video. We need to do one. School's back in. We've been busy, but yeah, we need to do another cooking stream, right? Would be funny to see Carl on your shoulder. I mean, there you go. He's a little cut off there. Hold on. I need to like, I can't layer him, but I'll say I need to like layer him. All right, where can you go learn to cast out demons and then see a pigeon on a guy's shoulder that taught? I don't know. Where else can you go? Who knows? We're weird. It is what it is. I don't care. Yes, the election is going to be interesting. It's a Tuesday night, so can we have like a prayer stream and then a reaction stream to the news? I don't know. Isn't the news boring on election night? It's just like, I'm pretty sure it's all night long. I remember last time staying up all night. So I don't know. But we should probably do a prayer stream. It's a Tuesday night. Little midnight burn prayer stream. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's boring, right? Like, watching them be like, oh, California voted for Kamala Harris. What else is new? Do one of your funny voices? I don't know. Which one do you mean? Oh, it's literally all night? Okay, that's what I thought. It'll take forever? Okay, that's what I thought. It's boring, right? I remember watching it for hours last time. I was like, this is boring. Maybe we'll do a prayer stream, though. Yeah. There's a lot more, I would say, writing on this election than ones in the past. Only because, and I'm no political expert, but as time progresses, the left specifically gets increasingly more evil. So now there's like the afterbirth abortion, which is so demonic. We know like the whole trans thing's bigger now and all of that. So it's just getting more wicked and more wicked. So it seems like there's more at stake as the years go by. And especially because if you don't know, Kamala Harris is the most left president ever, or candidate. She's not a president. Hopefully never becomes one. She was the most left Senate ever. Like, the most left. The most pro-abortion. The most pro-remove your child's genitals. Like, that's who is up here for election, so. Or for, up to be elected. So, yes, it's a very, very serious one. Doesn't really matter. Whatever happens, God's still going to do what he wants to do. Revival can still happen no matter who the president is. We know this because revival's been happening under sleepy Joe Biden. So, yeah, the revival's not going to stop because of the president, right? Like, Paul was in Rome under the most persecuted government in history, and revival happened. We're not like, oh, we can't have revival of Trump, or we can't have revival of Kamala. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is millions of babies will be murdered if one candidate gets elected. So, yeah, she's so demonic, guys. I kid you not. Okay, so I saw a video of a girl on TikTok saying that when she saw Kamala Harris on the TV, she was, like, telling her mom, why is there a demon on the TV? She said she literally saw a demon. It was Kamala Harris, but she saw a demon. And her mom's like, that's Kamala Harris. That's not a demon. But the girl was like, I literally saw a demon on the TV. Like, and that's actually what I see when I see her. I'm not kidding, guys. I just see a demon. Every time she talks, I see a demonic image. Her face is demonic to me. I don't know if that's discernment, spiritual insight, spiritual sight, or just obvious. Maybe some of you see that, but I literally see a demon when she talks. She's deceptive. She's a liar. She's manipulative. She's demonic. She stands for everything ungodly. And then she says she's a Christian. It's mind-blowing. So, yeah. I saw that girl's video. I was like, wow, I actually see that. Like, I've never saw that in a politician before, and there's some evil politicians. But I just see demons. I see demons when I see her. So, yeah, it's just a sad time. I've heard many say they see a demon with Kamala. Yeah, seriously. Isaiah singing for us. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm probably already grieving him by talking about politics. Yeah, Jezebel and Ahab. I mean, come on, guys. Jezebel and Ahab. Her VP's worse. Her VP's more evil than her. Oh, I have the conference information on my website, or you can go to the Breakers Conference, but it will also say on Ticketmaster. Her cackles are witchy and evil. Yeah, I mean, she's just evil. Here's the thing. You can't stand for what she stands for and not be evil. There's no way. Bro, the stuff she stands for is so wicked. There's no way you could not be covered full of demons and be that wicked, and what she stands for is so evil. I don't know if I have demon or just anger issues. I mean, if you feel like it takes over you, then it's probably a demon. If you feel like it's uncontrollable, it's probably a demon. Facts. I'm telling y'all, you know, you talk about Jesus in the interview, they start twitching, their eyes start twitching back and forth. Those demons start manifesting. Come on now. No way, dude. There's no way you can be a Christian and support that. There's no way. Now, you don't have to support Trump. You're like, well, I hate Trump. Cool. You don't have to support Trump. Nobody even told you to. You just can't be a Christian and okay with what she stands for. How do you vote for that? You're voting in demonic laws. I just don't even understand how anybody... How is this even an argument? People are like, I just... Evangelicals for Harris? What does that even mean? It makes no sense. There's no way. Gideon supports Kamala? Well, he's wrong. Fine. He's wrong. I'm guessing he's trolling, but it doesn't really matter either way. He's wrong. Any Christian that supports her is completely wrong because you cannot support somebody and their values and their policies. Because you're voting for policies. You're not voting for a pastor. You're voting for based on their policies that they're going to enact. So people are like, oh, I can't believe you tell me to vote for Trump. You can vote for whoever you want to vote for. But I'm telling you, if you vote for her, you're voting for demonic laws and a demonic agenda. So that is bottom line. It's not like my opinion. Go read her policies. She finally posted them. Anyways, I don't want to go into it because it's nauseating. Nauseating. Yeah, don't vote for either of them then. I'm just saying, you can do whatever you want. Thoughts on Trump working at McDonald's? I thought it was epic. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, it's just, I can't even keep a straight face when I talk about her and her fake accents and her same speech everywhere she goes and her stories. I can't. My mind. Help me, Lord. Jared and Candace are going to go live right now with prayer and worship. So we're going to end the stream as soon as they go live. Thank you guys for partnering and giving. We'll be live again tomorrow night. We have the announcement video tomorrow afternoon for the deliverance map. Very important announcement. And then we will be going live at night for the podcast, and I'll talk a little bit about the deliverance map tomorrow night after the podcast. What's the spirit of victim? Not sure. We have to give an account to God. Amen. No, I don't like sparkling water, and yeah, her accents are wild. Her accents are wild. Okay, they are live. Let's go there now. Let me post their link. And then if you're on autoplay, the stream will automatically take you there. But I'm going to tell you to go here. All right, if you're on Facebook, go here now for worship and prayer after stream. There it is. Everybody go. There's 1,400 of you. And by the way, we peaked at 2,900 tonight, which is amazing. Those are awesome numbers. Thank you guys for being here, for following, for viewing, for giving. I love you guys so much more than I can tell you. And we'll see you guys in Jared and Candace's stream. Go here. Go here. Go here. Go here. Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.